America Weekend.
You know, Carl, I'd like to continue what we were just talking about before we went to commercial break. I did not realize. I knew you were in Vietnam. Yes. I knew that you were hurt, wounded there. Mm-hmm. That you have served your country nobly and proudly.
Thank you.
But I did not know that you were in a.
I was trained. The madness of the world in which we live in. I was trained to fight the war we fought 30 years later, in the desert of Kuwait.
Okay.
We were trained. To fight essentially a desert war. We were trained at Fort Hood, Texas, which is a sprawl. It's on a plateau in the middle of Texas, near Waco, just south of Waco. It is huge, absolutely colossal. It's the size of the state of Connecticut, right in the middle of Texas. It's absolutely huge. And the 1st and 2nd Armored Division are housed there. And my basic training and my AIT training, advanced infantry training, was in a tank. And support of a tank thereof, to essentially for Europe to defend against the Soviet threat was still very much a part of our thinking in 1966-67. But essentially to fight a desert war, which didn't occur until 1990?
Well, you're going back to the late 60s, early 70s. What kind of electronics were in the tanks at that time? I mean, there wasn't much out there.
Wasn't much out there. It really was very rudimentary, okay? The UNIVAC 1005 system, which had been developed by the military, was used by the U.S. Army. Part of those elements were in a tank, and that is for looking at the gyroscopes and looking at the line of sight down the line. A lot of it was very advanced because the tank had been developed since World War II, had really taken on shape. It really did. Of course, the Soviets had some extraordinary tanks because that was part of their land warfare. They were very good at what they did in terms of tanks. But the United States was looking to be in a defensive posture, not necessarily an offensive posture, with our military hardware. And the tanks were one of them. Just at that particular point in time, the AVAC land carrier, troop carrier, which no one ever wanted to be in, was being developed because it was so damn hot. They used to put us on the back of deuce and a half trucks. Essentially, that's how they moved the army at the time. And we learned how to move men. Now, my job, other than tank, was to learn how to move large amounts of men very quickly.
But you don't move men in a tank.
No, obviously. You move them in those deuce and a half trucks
right.
At the time, because the units supporting that they have today, the deuce and a halves, weren't even developed at the time.
So how many of you were in a tank at one time?
Six.
Six?
Yes.
Enough room in there?
Got kind of crowded.
Yeah.
Got kind of crowded. It was fascinating. Then typical military, they pulled us out of that situation and put us into what they call ground support for the troops, which is a little different. Today, it's done with carriers. All right, these half tracks, if you will, and the Humvees and all of that. There were no Humvees in the Vietnam War.
No, everything's changed.
And
now, then
they realized, while we were there being trained, that you can't really use tank support in a jungle because the undergrowth. You need an open playing field. You can't maneuver the damn thing. What are you going to use it for? Though there were units of tanks over there by the hundreds. Many of them stayed at port and never got in country because there's no place to put them. But we were trained to do that. So when we got there, this is exactly what they did. They lined us up on the blacktop. Helicopter gunner, medic, rifleman, go.
Pointing to you,
pointing
saying
to
that's
you,
what you were.
Me, John, Frankie, Billy, you go here, you go here, you go there. Here's your unit, here's your papers, go. But I'm a tank. No, you're not a tanker. Now you're a helicopter gunner. I wound up on a strap on a helicopter gunner. I was a medic at one time. That was the military.
Did you have any medical training?
On the job. I went out.
Whoa.
I went out on the field, and they trained me out there. Yes, they did. I was pretty good at it, quite frankly.
Well, I'm sure that you would be.
I actually enjoyed that of all the things I did, believe it or not, more than anything else. But I did not finish my career that way. I finished on the strap.
Can I ask a very indelicate question?
Sure.
When you're in a tank?
Yes.
What if you have to go?
Pee in a bottle.
Oh, okay.
You stop and you get out, and we used to have very strange places upon which we could evacuate, follow the drift. Where were there maybe a hole? That's exactly okay, where. Right. That's
well, I don't want to go.
That's exactly where. That's exactly where it went. But I'll put it to you this way: it's a good thing we are men and not women.
I'm not interested in all of your illusions.
Need I say more about that? No more.
Yes.
It was an experience, though, and you earned a great respect for those who are very, very good at it.
Yeah.
Because you are in a very closed, a tight environment upon which. Relying upon your crew, okay? Relying upon your crew is vital to your survival. You learn how to work as a team, and you're able to do everything in the tank, not just, you know, load, fire, usually a lieutenant.
Was it loud?
Very. Hmm. Very. But it was better than it had been with the Sherman. I was in a Sherman tank. I don't think I could have survived World War II in a Sherman. They were just like sitting in a refrigerator without any refrigeration. That's how hot it was. That's how small it was.
Yeah.
Those guys that did that, God bless them. God bless them.
Well, you know, I guess I've exhausted or we've exhausted this
particular
topic.
There's not much more you can say about this, yes.
But thanks for filling me in on that. I was not aware. What else do you want to talk about for this?
Well, I did want to mention we talked about the outsourcing of jobs, and we mentioned our military men and women. And I did want to stay on that topic because these are remember, when I was in the military, we were U.S. They are RA. U.S. means you are drafted. Essentially in the draft. The draft was still going on.
Mm-hmm.
These are volunteers into the military, too. They are professional.
Called regular Army.
Regular Army. They are professional soldiers. And they're very, very good at what they do. Very good. We have the best soldiers in the world, hands down, going away. No one even comes close today to our military men and women. They're very good. And when they come out into the workforce, that is the reason why I'm going to be getting involved in a program from a group out of Florida that's going to be benefiting our men and women who are coming out into the workforce for the first time to speak on their behalf, to get corporations interested and looking at when it says experience, when it says U.S. military, you might want to pay attention to that resume because it really you're getting a quality, well-practiced, well-trained individual who understands etiquette, who understands how to deal in a team environment,
mm-hmm.
someone who can be very, very helpful in any large or small corporation. And they deserve a plus, and they deserve a break. They've helped defend us to allow us to do the craziness things that we do here in safety when they had their lives on the line. And now they're coming out, and the numbers are getting bigger and bigger as they pour out of the military. Our job growth rate, for the first time in the last 25 years, now matches their ability to be able to get a job. There are lots of jobs out there, and we've got to hire them. And sometimes finding that job is not always easy.
And then also receiving a decent and living wage
Correct.
Is a little tough. But sometimes those wages are dictated by the economic conditions in a society at that time.
And we seem to be now on the uptick.
Yeah.
We seem to be in a situation where the world is coming to the United States. We're a country right now that's floating in cash. We're absolutely floating in. There's a lot of investment in this country.
Well, somebody's got it.
A lot of people don't. But that, and the trickle down, by the way, doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work. But that money is generating other collateral interest in other collateral businesses that might be of a benefit to the lower and middle class individual. And that's what we have to get into. It's not outsourcing a job. Let's be American. Let's hire American. Let's hire the American vet. It's worthwhile, ladies and gentlemen. It's worthwhile.
You're not talking about isolationism, though, are you?
No.
In any way?
No, because the foreign workers have added a great deal to our economy. Regardless of where they came from, there is enough room in this economy to grow. We're not shutting it. Remember, we talked about this earlier. No reason to put a wall up around the United States. It's not that kind of economy. Our economy is global. But we have to get our people who are available into that global marketplace. And they have to be looked at because they are trained, particularly our veterans, they are trained for that for the new workforce. And it is a new workforce coming out. Yes, it's a techie workforce. Yeah, they have certain, in my opinion, and I've taught this, I've lectured this in college, they have certain problems with their communication skills because they never get off the damn phone by texting. talk to me, don't text me, that kind of thing. Other than that, we have opportunities in this country with a developing new economy in the environmental area, in the eco area, that can benefit a wide range of people, both foreign and domestic.
I think on the threshold, there's probably a number of great inventions that are just ready to be discovered.
I was with one just the other day. It's a battery invention that is absolutely extraordinary.
Can you talk about it?
I cannot, unfortunately, but we will.
But we will at some point.
With Mr. McCart, who was there with me, that's why he joined us the other week, and it's extraordinary. It'll create thousands of jobs. Absolutely thousands of jobs. Fascinating stuff.
Wonderful.
Fascinating stuff. Anyway.
All right.
We're carried on.
All right. We have more interesting things coming up I'm not going to tell you. There's not a surprise guest. I mean, I told you who it was, but you don't know what the topic is.
We'll be back. Stay tuned.
America. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.